Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik, and in for Jessica Tai, it's Telly Hughes.
Greg and Telly with you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Jessica back on Monday. I don't know if there's going to be a Brewers game on Monday or not, but tonight could be the final game of the season here. We're definitely not hoping for that. Got to squeeze something out of this series, but it's not gone very well to this point.
No, it has not. And, I mean, give the Dodgers credit. I know a lot of people are saying the Brewers are just really slumping right now at the worst time, but you got to take into consideration these Dodgers are the defending World Series champions, and they are loaded once again. So they're playing some good ball at a right time, and they are 8-1 in the playoffs so far. So it's not just they're getting hot against the Brewers. They've been hot against everybody.
Yeah, nobody has solved their riddle so far this postseason. It's 111 here on WTMJ.
And now it's time for three big things on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Start with the Brewers, shall we? All good things must come to an end, but hopefully not tonight for the crew.
I mean, it's going to be tough no matter what we do facing the Dodgers, but no, I think we got this. I think, you know, stay positive with the boys.
It's Jacob Mizorowski. He's been the Brewers' best pitcher during the postseason. Miz struck out 9 over 5 innings of work in Thursday night's loss.
It's always just the next game. I don't think it's worrying about what happened, you know, in the middle of the year or what happened in these last 4 games. You know, let's just move on to the next. Let's win this next one.
Pitching has actually been pretty good for the Brewers throughout the postseason. A couple of hiccups here and there, but you've had to be perfect against the Dodgers because the Brewers' offense has churned out just 9 hits. 9 hits in 3 games. That ties the 1906 White Sox for the fewest in league history in the postseason. Still not sure who's going to start tonight for the Brewers, but Shohei Ohtani takes the ball for the Dodgers. Not a bad option as your number 4 starter. Coverage of tonight's game begins following the 6 o'clock news. First pitch scheduled for 7:08.
Number 2, Milwaukee Public Schools is offering a $1,000 bonus to lure retired teachers back into the classroom to address a district-wide teacher shortage. The incentive is part of a larger campaign to fill 83 current teacher vacancies. The bonus is available to retired teachers from MPS or any other Wisconsin school district. MPS Superintendent Dr. Brenda Caselius.
They can come and work full-time or they can job share. And so that's something new that we're trying. And so there might be 2 retired friends who work together during their school years and they want to come and share a classroom. We're welcoming that as well.
To receive the $1,000 bonus, retired teachers must be successfully placed in a school and work for at least 6 months. Teachers can return to work full-time or part-time, potentially through job-sharing arrangements with another retired teacher. MPS has a particular need for teachers in middle school grades, special education, art, music, and physical education.
Well, number 3, it's a war between Smucker's and Trader Joe's over peanut butter and jelly. Smucker's makes Uncrustables. Telly, you've probably enjoyed one of those in your life.
Love those. What do you mean? Yes.
It's great on the golf course. I usually keep one in my golf bag, right? I bring it frozen.
Exactly.
By the time I get to the 8th hole, it's thawed out, and I go.
And it's perfect.
Actually, a frozen one's not too bad either. Well, they are suing Trader Joe's. Smucker's is claiming the groceries store chain's crustless frozen sandwich too closely resembles its own signature design. Uncrustables, a staple everywhere. School cafeterias, NFL locker rooms, Matzik's freezer. They claim Trader Joe's frozen PB&J are, quote, obvious copycats.
Typically, you can't trademark the ingredients of a sandwich or the recipe, but if it has a shape or other features that are unique that are not functional, you can get trademark protection for that.
As intellectual property expert Michael Kelber, Trader Joe's, well known for its private label products, which are designed to save customers money, and they're also, you know what, designed to mimic the non-generic brand. Like, why is this something new? Like, here comes Smucker saying, hey, wait a minute now, that's our own crimping on the outside of that bread. If it's even bread, I don't even know.
But on top of that, Greg, is peanut butter and jelly.
Well, that too.
Like, I mean, there are too many more ingredients outside of peanut butter and jelly. So you can't just come and say, oh, they're copycatting us because of one little thing. But we'll see how it goes.
Of course it mimics the non-generic brand. That's what it's designed to do. That's what everything at Trader Joe's does. One of those things. Use a different crimping tool, right? Maybe do that and you'll be okay.
Right.
115 on WTMJ. Coming up next, a deep analysis into the housing market in greater Milwaukee and the metro area. Some startling price hikes, all based upon what? We'll go through it after this. So the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors comes out with an annual report. They come out with a monthly report. They come out with quarterly reports, and I'm always interested in these reports. It kind of gives you an idea what home prices are in the general metro area of Milwaukee. Also, sales and inventory, and it kind of feels like it's been very consistent over the last several months. But now we've got a rate decrease, another one on the horizon, maybe two before the end of the year, and some interesting numbers from the month of September. Sarah Cole is with the GMAR and joins us in our studio. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
I see that September home sales are up 7.3%. That is good news, I suppose. Is it a sign that we're sort of breaking out of this rut? What do you make of it?
I don't know that it's a sign that we're breaking out of it. If you take away the homes that already have accepted offers, we're really down to only 1.8 months of inventory. And 6 months inventory is really a healthy market. That gives us the most competition or the biggest variety for buyers to get, and with the least amount of other people trying to get the same home as well. So we're far from that, even though this is good news, but we only had 3 months that were up in the whole year so far.
And year-to-date sales were up 1.6% despite only 3 months of being in the positive territory. Is that a good sign leading forward, or is that something that can just be looked at as an isolated type of deal?
You know, in summer, we tend to have an uptick in sales, so I kind of lean towards it may just be what we would see typically in the summer months. I would love to see more sales. I would love to see more inventory. That's our biggest problem. If we could get more inventory, I have buyers in the weeds just waiting to get that house. And I think so many are getting frustrated because there is so few items to choose from. You know, I can say particularly for my nephew out in the Lake Country area, there's just not a lot coming on out there and not, you know, affordable first time home.
Yes, and I want to follow up on that because does that have a lot to do with the tariffs and the materials that it takes to build homes that has been really halted because of these tariffs?
I don't know about the tariffs, but I can say that, you know, everybody's seen an uptick in pricing on everything across the board. And so new home sales, it is much more expensive. But not only is it more expensive in materials, they're building homes that are a little bit larger and maybe for somebody that's looking to level up versus somebody as a first-time home buyer, where maybe a 1,500 square foot, you know, three-bedroom, one bath could be sufficient.
So the idea of rate cuts, I think it's a double-edged sword here, Sarah. Curious to know your thoughts. It's good news. It sounds good. Rates will be coming down. And if you got stuck in purchasing a home with an elevated interest rate, maybe you could refinance and save a little bit. But I don't feel like it's going to come down enough for people to get out of their homes where they have a 2.5% interest rate. So great, it might be in the sixes, and that's good news, but it could lead to more competition for that already limited inventory.
I agree. It's kind of a double-edged sword, right? So you do have some people, I think, that were waiting to hear those numbers and come down. I know many lenders are starting to see the refi side come around, which is great because people are lowering their monthly payments, which is helpful in this economy. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's enough to make a lot of people move. And there's a lot of older folks aging in their own homes because it's just cheaper to stay there than it is to move or to even go to a 55 plus community or something to that nature.
Well, anybody who owns a home likes to see value go up, right?
Correct.
They like to see it appreciate. It's up about 11% year over year in the month of September. But the average now, about $446,000. That doesn't really scream affordability to me.
Not at all. That is not affordable. And you can see that, again, kind of my point was when you're looking at the new builds, everything, you know, I shouldn't say everything. Most items that are being built are over $500,000. That's not a first-time buyer, you know, or most first-time buyers. So I think affordability is really a thing that we need to be looking at as well.
Where are hot zip codes right now? Where are you getting the most interest as people kind of ping you and say, okay, Sarah, I need your help here. I need your help in finding something. Here's kind of the areas where we want to be.
My goodness. You know what? I've been all over this year from Lake Country to Mequon to different parts of Bayview is very popular, especially with younger generation, just because of the walkability. I think most people are hoping to have walkability and access to shopping and things like that, and they really appreciate that. Places for pets to go and other places, that helps too.
So the more like kind of out in the suburbs and those homes, those new construction homes, that's not as popular as it once was before?
I don't know if it's not as popular, but it's not as affordable. So yes. we're coming into affordability. So people are becoming much more realistic. And then if you can get all of those other items, I'm going to just use Bayview again as a for instance, you know, that's very attractive. The pricing there is a little bit more affordable and you get all these extra things to go along with it. It's not that the suburbs are less desirable. It's just an affordability issue.
How do you value the idea of a townhouse versus condo or a single family home? Are people thinking, well, I'd love to get into the single family home, but this is becoming far too competitive. I'm going to pay out the nose. Maybe a condo or townhouse in a market that's kind of saturated with it in Milwaukee specifically might be a better option.
It could be, but you have to remember the HOA fees. So then you're adding that on top of, so you have taxes. If you're in the metro area, your taxes are still going to be high on a condo, plus you have the HOA fee. So if it's not really something that somebody's looking for, I think a home is still probably an easier choice to go with. It's going to likely be around the same monthly payment if they're still looking for, you know, a specific set of bedrooms and bathrooms and things like that. I don't know that it's one's better than the other.
It is interesting. Some of the markets that I like to peruse, and I'm just kind of a nerd on Zillow or different realtor sites just to see what things are going for. Mm-hmm. I have noticed some of those homes that are maybe valued a little more than what they are worth, maybe in the $700,000 range. They're taking some pretty big price chunks out of those homes because now they are existing on the market. So there is a pivot point, right, where super competitive, multiple offers, you're likely to get more than the home is valued at or what you have it listed at. But then if you're too high, all of a sudden you're taking a big bite out of that apple because the amount of buyers in that space are reduced.
Right. First-time pricing correctly is very important. So I think a lot of sellers were looking at, we were just, oh, you know, prices were constantly going up, constantly going up, constantly going up. But you can only get so high before you hit a, you know, a ceiling. And so I think if you price it appropriately, they are still selling. But sellers that would like to see get a little bit more may be waiting and then having to drop down. So it's always best to price accurately the first time.
And timing and location, right? And
correct.
Isn't that kind of the rules here with real
location,
estate?
Location, location, location.
Absolutely. Sarah Cole joining us in studio representing the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors. Really good stuff, Sarah. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, some pops of sun today. Nice day today. High of 70 degrees. Get outside. Maybe mow the lawn tonight. That might be a good idea here. The weekend looks like it could be wet. How wet exactly? We welcome in Brian Nisnansky, Chief Meteorologist at TMJ4. Hey, Nis.
Yeah, guys. I just got done getting my lawn mowed this morning. An extra little tight cut to make sure when those leaves come down, they're down the street. Come this weekend, because along with the rain, we're also expecting a lot of wind.
Okay, so what happens if instead of down the street, they end up in neighbor's yard?
That's their problem.
Yeah.
I got my lawn tight. I sit a little bit higher in my neighborhood. I have a farm behind me, so like if I get a nice on Sunday, I'm expecting a nice north wind at about 30 miles per hour, and that will send most of the leaves into the farm field. But yeah, some residual leaves could end up in neighbor's yard.
Niz, we've been talking over the last 3 days about this pattern of rain, and dry time over the next 3 days. I'm sure it's still going to remain the same. Is it going to be more dry time than wet time or vice versa?
Yeah. Yeah. So as I've been mentioning the last couple of days, as we get closer to this event, we'll be able to time out this stuff a lot better. And thankfully, up until now, most of the shower action that we've had has been during the overnight hours. And I do think that trend somewhat continues this weekend. So what we have first will be a cold front approaching. And with that cold front out ahead of it, some showers that will be possible. Very slight chance tonight of showers. A better chance of a few showers rolling through tomorrow morning. And then it looks like we are dry tomorrow afternoon through tomorrow evening. And then eventually another area of rain develops and moves in with an area of low pressure. That will be Sunday morning, and it could last much of the day on Sunday. So if you're looking for that prime window this weekend, this evening is good, but also Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon looks pretty good. So no washout on Saturday? I think that's maybe changed. Is that potentially coming on Sunday?
Yeah, so if there is a time period that's going to be like, oh, that's pretty gross outside and lasting for a long time, I really think that's Sunday, especially Sunday morning through midday on Sunday. Not only rainy, but also potentially very windy, a cooler wind out of the northeast off of Lake Michigan. It could be like 50s, windy, and rainy. One of my girls has a game around noon, I think, on Sunday, so hoping that clears out of there by then, or it's going to be one of those that you're kind of wishing you were just sitting in the car.
I was just looking at my schedule here, 11:30 and 2:30. All right.
2:30's got hope, 11:30 not so much.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's a developing system, a tricky system, but yeah, feel pretty confident the time to avoid will be Sunday morning. We just got to get it kicked out of here by lunchtime, hopefully.
So the pattern over the next 5 days, Niz, it seems like it's going to be warm and cold, and then it's going to try to get back warm again, and then on Tuesday it's going to get cold again, right?
Yeah, it's fall. Yeah, up and down fall weather for sure. So, yeah, we do have a couple days that will be warmer than others, including today. Tomorrow, I still think, we top out around 70, even with a good amount of cloud cover, very similar to today. So it's going to be a mild couple of days. Then cooler on Sunday, still kind of cool on Monday, and then we do work our way back up briefly Tuesday, I believe, and then back down Wednesday and Thursday. A week from now, though, next weekend, I know a lot of communities already doing trick-or-treating a weekend ahead. I know we have trick-or-treat on Saturday next weekend, and it looks to be pretty nice and warm again, maybe some 60s, if not close to 70, so hopefully that holds.
So our trick-or-treat will be on the 31st, the actual 31st. It's usually the Saturday before Halloween, but because Halloween's on a Friday and our kids have off of school that day for whatever reason, it's going to be on our Friday, October 31st. Now, I have seen in the last few years snow, wind, sleet, and also very pleasant conditions. Boy, it's like the ultimate crapshoot here is October 31st.
Think of it as almost the equivalent of Easter or even, you know, St. Patrick's Day, right? When there's been some where you've been outside on the patio enjoying a nice beer, and then there's been some where you're shoveling snow. So that's kind of our fall equivalent to that. And this time around, it's leaning towards a warming trend. I just hope I don't jinx it. We've had some snowy Halloweens the last couple, within the last 5 years, I think we've had two that we had accumulating snow events on Halloween. So hopefully this year will be one that doesn't come to fruition.
All right, Niz, you got a prediction tonight. Jose Quintana announced as the starter for tonight's game. So not Aaron Ashby for the 25th time or whatever.
Which has not worked out, right?
Not so much. Just enough damage.
I don't know. I'll go Brewers tonight. As crazy as it sounds, I just, you know, like a little pride factor tonight. A little something, put up a fight, a little bit something going tonight. I'll go with that.
Well, the good news is, as Telly and I were talking about, the Dodgers have their number four starter taking the mound, but it's also happening to be Shohei Ohtani, which is saying a lot for what the Dodgers are and how they're constructed.
I think after all to do about regular season, and, you know, I'm not taking away what the Brewers accomplished, hey, look at the lowly Brewers. They're able to compete with, you know, the Dodgers of the world that have three times the payroll. And it looks like come playoff time, that's all pretty much out the door.
They are a wagon. There's no doubt about that. We appreciate it, Niz. Yep. Have yourself a great weekend. Stay dry out there.
Yep, we'll do, guys. See ya.
All right, 1:44 on WTMJ. Today is National Pasta Day for those keeping score at home. It's also Move Over Day 2025. We'll explain what that means after this. Well, this weekend marks yet another year with a special commemoration. This Saturday, National Move Over Slow Down Day. And for Driver's Ed with Debbie this month, reminding drivers of the importance of this life-saving maneuver.
Imagine driving down the highway, feeling safe and secure. Suddenly, you see flashing lights ahead. What do? Well, if you know the law, you know you have to slow down, or better yet, move over safely into at least the next lane away from those stopped vehicles. Wisconsin State Patrol Sergeant Erica Balweg-Larson is shining a light on how important this law actually is.
Move Over Day is a day that we kind of want motorists to reflect and think about the people that are working alongside the roadways, whether that's a first responder, highway maintenance worker, tow truck operators, or any other emergency service vehicles that are on the side of the roadway. We want motorists just to kind of think about those people and that potentially their lives could be at risk when they're traveling by at highway speeds.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, thousands of emergency personnel are injured or killed each year while on the job. Many of these tragic incidents could be prevented if drivers simply moved over. And if you can't move over,
slowing down is not going the speed limit past us. It's slowing below the speed limit to a speed that's safe. And it doesn't have to be a speed that's like so low that it's causing a traffic incident behind you, but it's just a speed that's much safer so that it gives a little bit of a cushion just to give them a little bit extra protection.
When workers or first responders are out on the side of the roadway where the majority of vehicles are traveling at a relatively high rate of speed, they have practically no protection against a wayward vehicle that might creep into the shoulder just a little bit. All while these vehicles are tearing past them, they have to stay focused to do their jobs, sometimes saving another person's life. Think of how many times you've let go your focus and you've just slightly slid over just a little bit. Now picture a human being there, just trying to do their job and go home safely to their home and family. Puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? So that's why you might get pulled over if you don't.
A lot of times it might be just an educational lesson for when we stop motorists. And other times it might result in a citation. If you can't move over, we would obviously very much appreciate motorists to slow down.
You could also face some hefty fines and points on your license, not to mention the possibility of hurting or, worse yet, killing someone.
Fine for this violation can result in a citation of $263 and 3 points. And it is a moving violation. So that's where the points get added to the citation.
There's also another aspect of the law that most folks don't realize. I mean, I didn't realize it.
In December of 2021, the Act 115 took effect. That law creates emergency response area within 500 feet of an authorized emergency vehicle with their lights on. Handheld devices are banned in that area, which we want to remind people that fines do double in work zones as well.
So you know what I'm going to say. I always say it. Slow down, stay in control, and give the workers and first responders a wide berth when you see the flashing lights on the side of the road. Cut them some slack and slow it down so that everyone can get home safe and sound. Debbie Lazaga, WTMJ News.
Hey, appreciate it, Deb. If you missed any bit of Debbie's feature there or anything we've done throughout the course of the week, check out the Wisconsin's Midday News podcast page, built by Siding Unlimited. Wherever you get your podcast, you can sign up. Subscribe to Wisconsin's Midday News. What's the most significant sports injury you ever suffered?
Torn labrum.
Torn labrum. Jeez. All right. So throwing, doing something along that line?
Yes.
Pitching?
Yes. I was a pitcher in college, and it actually happened after my career. I was playing basketball, went back for a rebound. I was like, oh, that didn't...
Okay.
It'll sound right.
Okay, not good, right?
Torn ligament.
Well, competing in track and field in college, I had a couple of hamstring issues. Nothing ever terribly significant, but yes, it kind of in line with what I was doing. Think about the most popular sports on the planet today, or specifically in America. If you were going to name the most popular sport, a sport that is surging in growth, that everybody all of a sudden is playing from different ages, right? Kids all the way through adults, grandma, grandpa. What is a sport that comes to your mind? People are playing it all over the place and maybe weren't so much 5-10 years ago.
Pickleball.
There you go. Bingo. Well, amazingly, because of the surge in pickleball players, a certain kind of injury is also increasing by leaps and bounds.
Pickleball has its own lingo, like kitchen and dink. But it also may have its own health drawback, eye injuries. There were 1,250 blamed on pickleball in the U.S. last year, according to a JAMA ophthalmology study. It also found the number of eye injuries associated with pickleball went up by 400 each year from 2021 through 2024, and 70% of those came in players 50 or older. The American Academy of Ophthalmology is recommending F3164 protective eyewear that's standard in racket sports. Brian Clark, ABC News.
All right, you're going to need to get yourself some eyewear if you're going to be doing the pickleball thing, right? Get the specs on, Telly, right? And be safe. You only got two eyes. Take care of them.
Yeah. It's not, if you lose one, that's going to grow back. So you definitely...
It has some problems there.
You have some problems. But, I mean, you would think even racquetball, it was always recommended. And, I mean, to have some sort of eyewear or goggles or something. But I mean, when you're that's such close proximity, and this is speaking from someone who has never played pickleball, but it seems like you being that close, everybody's reaction time isn't that great. So
no,
you would think that, yeah, I would want to protect my eyes if something, if there's any sort of object coming that fast, that close, that could potentially reach my eyes or my face.
I would think most people who play racquetball are going to have some kind of eye protection
you
on,
would
right?
Think,
you're going
right.
to have that thing's coming a million miles an hour, caroming off walls. It's kind of dangerous, and it's kind of a confined space. Pickleball, maybe you don't think about it because you say, well, everybody can play it. Everybody can play pickleball. Kids, get on out there. Mom, Dad, get on out there. Grandma, Grandpa, let's go play pickleball, because you're thinking the ball doesn't move as fast as it does in tennis mm-hmm. or in racquetball, right? Everybody can play it. It can be slow. It can also be very fast. The ball can jack
close.
You in the face. Be cautious, right? It's not a surprise to me. Pickleball injuries are ramping up here because of the surge in pickleball.
Summer is going to be so hardcore. We're doing something that we've never done before. Nah, we're not going to the mountains or the shore. This summer you go find us on the pickleball court. Yeah.